We are we're an apostolic church. People pray in the Spirit around here. Not how to pray in the Spirit, but I want to talk to you about a couple of things that that are reoccurring to me, and that they seem to come up often from folks who maybe visit our church for the first time. Maybe they haven't been around an apostolic church. And they come in, and they attend a service, and then they enjoy it, and then they leave. And then one of the first things that they'll say in a follow-up conversation is, you know, I go to church, and I know the Bible, but that speaking in tongues out loud thing that y'all do is just, I just don't understand that, and I don't really see that in the Word of God. What I see in the Word of God is thus and thus and thus, and generally they take you to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, and they start ramrodding you how Paul said it's better to prophesy than it is to pray in the Spirit, and it's better to. So that's one scenario that I see reoccurring. The second scenario that seems to pop up from time to time, and maybe you identify with this one, is I will go somewhere and visit. I'm a visitor, guest at another church, at an event, and if you around here in morning prayer or even tonight in praying, I got a liberty to pray in the Holy Ghost. So when I enter into a group of believers, I just pray. I pray like I always pray. I don't dial it down or dial it up, or I just pray. And it gets awkward sometimes. People look at me awkward. It feels awkward. And then a third scenario is, oftentimes, I'm given the opportunity to maybe open a service in prayer somewhere. Brother Heiner and I were involved, or I'm still involved. He was involved for a couple of years on the youth committee, and both of us were oftentimes asked to open a service in prayer or lead prayer at the beginning of service, that 15 to 20 minutes before service starts, and somebody hands you a mic and says, come on, lead all these youth in prayer. Once again, you put a mic in my hand and ask me to lead prayer, you know how I'm going to lead prayer. I may try to temper it a little bit. I may try to dial it back a little bit, because most teenagers don't have a clue about praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again tonight for the sake of what we're going to talk about. I want to teach this. I hope that I can show you something and that we go slow enough tonight, and that the things that the Lord showed me in the Scripture in the last 12 hours about this that I'm going to share with you tonight are something that you can talk to somebody about. If you have a family member, a Bible study, an acquaintance, somebody that comes in with you, and you get this question and they start lambasting you with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that you can go back and step them through this. And I don't have a ton of notes. I basically just got I got the Scriptures copy and paste here. But if you want a copy of these, you can have them as a Bible study or maybe just for your own personal reference down the road. All this stuff is available in Bible apps and just things that the Lord began to talk to me about in prayer this morning. But I spent the first 25 years of my life in a different church other than Life Church. And I was actually 24 years old, and it was August of 2000. I was 23 years old. It was August of 2004 when I made my first trip to Puyallup to be involved in a prayer and fasting meeting that Brother Tony Bailey taught in this room. I came upon invitation. I had no idea what I was getting myself into at that point. And up to that point, I had spent little to no time praying in the Spirit. No one had ever taught me how to pray in the Spirit. No one had ever communicated about how to pray in the Spirit to me. And my only experience with praying in the Spirit was that we would have prayer meetings at our church. This was back in the 80s, early 90s. We had all-night prayer meetings. All-night prayer. I mean, like, you show up at 7, you don't leave till 8 the next morning, and if you're lucky, you got a snack and some breakfast if you're under the age of about 10 years old. And so God bless me and the rest of the people that were there, but after about the first 30 minutes, there was a lot of hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus, love you, Jesus. hallelujah. And there were a couple of people, and this stands out to me. My mom's sister was in that church. Her name was Eileen. And my aunt Eileen, after about an hour or two into that prayer meeting, would begin to intercede. What I know now is intercede. I thought she was crazy then. She would intercede. It would take an hour or two, but she'd come to the end of her understanding, and she would just begin to give way to the utterance of the Spirit. She'd intercede all night long. She'd lay on that back pew. She's since passed. She'd lay on that back pew and she'd just pray in the Holy Ghost the whole rest of the night, and that just became the music by which we fell asleep to at 1 a.m. was my aunt praying in the Holy Ghost. I can't tell you, I can't recall in 24 years, another individual praying that way in our home church. And so in that first meeting that I was in here, and some of you are in a room, were in that meeting with Brother Bailey, he began to talk about praying in the Spirit. He began to talk about morning prayer, and he began to talk about the dimensions of prayer. I think the teaching that he does is the four dimensions of prayer. I believe it's three or four dimensions of prayer. Four dimensions of prayer. I believe a lot of that audio is still available in DVD form right out here in this front office. If you want to go back and listen to that stuff, I believe there's some books of his in the office too if you still want to read it. Powerful stuff. I encourage you to do it. That was where I really became introduced to praying in the Spirit. I remember up to that point in my life, really struggling with a consistent prayer life. Because it was a struggle every day to get up and repeat the same things over and over again and go through the same prayer list. Pray for my mom and dad, pray for my sisters, pray for my grandmother that was backslidden, pray for my aunts and uncles that were backslidden. And I'd go through this list of things, and then what I wanted, you know, what I, as an 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 15-year-old, what I wanted, you know, new truck, new this, new that. You know, you can only do that so many times. I love my dad to death. He's my dad. I love him to death. One of my personal heroes. Hardest working guy I know. My dad has he's in his older age. He's young, but in his older age, he's forgetful about what he said. And so most days that I talk to my dad, it's a repeat conversation of a few days before. And as the good son that I am, I just listen, as he tells me the same story he told me 2 days ago. Now, if that wasn't my dad and I didn't love him, I probably wouldn't listen to it for the third time that week. I'd probably say, hey, you know, you told me that story 2 days. But I love my dad, so I just listen. I go on, drive down the road, sit in traffic. Nothing better to do. So either listen to the radio or listen to dad. And sometimes new details come out, so you got to keep listening. But my point is, if you had a friend, if you had an acquaintance, somebody that you thought you enjoyed being around, and every time you got together with them, they told you the same thing over and over and over again, you'd get frustrated, you'd get tired of each other, and you'd just quit hanging out with each other. You'd quit having conversations with each other. Because it gets boring after a while. If my wife and I, when I get home at night, if we talk about the same thing every single night, it'd get boring. You know, there's something new to talk about. The kids, school, life, all these things are things that we discuss and we talk about, and they become exciting. And so you engage in conversation. And so it became frustrating to me. It became difficult to maintain a constant prayer life because I was constantly trying to say the same things over and over again and find different ways to say them with more hallelujahs and more I love yous. And so that meeting was so revelatory to me that I went home, and I remember that week beginning to enter into a season of prayer for the first time, real seasons of prayer for the first time, and where I would generally go to the church and pray for 5 to 10 minutes and just be out of things to pray for and be completely distracted. I remember the first morning going to prayer, laying down on some chairs that looked just like these, and I entered into a season of prayer, and I looked at my watch 40 minutes later. I remember being surprised by that and feeling like, man, I can do this. Whatever that was frustrating. I can do this. And I begin to receive and to operate in what we call a liberty pray in the Spirit. Now, everybody in the room here tonight, most everybody in the room has a liberty to pray in the Holy Ghost. If you don't, we'll pray for you before the night's over, and that's not a joke. There's a liberty in this congregation to pray in the Spirit. And so I get so used to that liberty to praying in the Holy Ghost that I go other places and I just pray in the Holy Ghost because that's what I do around you all the time. And you're all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, hey, we're just going to have a good time. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost here. We're praying the Holy Ghost at a fellowship meeting, at youth camp, youth convention. And it gets awkward. And people start looking at you sideways like, what are you doing? I'm not exaggerating. It's awkward. And I've not had anybody say this verbatim to me, but I felt it in conversation, and I felt it in looks and emotion. You know that's not scriptural, right? And so as I was reading 1 Corinthians 14, not purposely, I've just been reading through the book of 1 Corinthians this last 2 weeks, chapter at a time, trying to understand it, reading it in a few different versions, I got today to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and began to read this, and this became illuminated to me. And so I want to try to share it with you tonight as the Lord showed it to me, and hopefully we'll get somewhere. So we're going to we'll be in the KJV, Brother Kendrick. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to read some verses here. I don't think we're going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to read some verses here. Chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh, everybody say speaketh, in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, this is where it kind of gets interesting. And we're gonna jump down and we're gonna read a couple more verses, and then we're gonna come back up and we're gonna talk about this word speaketh. The next verse says, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but does everybody have a elementary concept of tongues and interpretation here? Nodding ahead. He's talking about tongues and interpretation here. He's talking about spiritual utterance in a gathering like this, coming upon an individual and then giving way to that utterance, speaking out, and there being an interpretation of that. Now, let me, this is just fun fact, okay? I don't know what this means. I've said this to several people. No, everyone just looks at me with a blank stare. We'll see if I get more blank stares tonight. In that church that I grew up in, that nobody prayed in the Spirit in but one person, we had tongues and interpretation almost every service. Y'all are laughing at me, so that's exactly the response I thought I would get. I don't understand that. To this day, I can't explain it. Anyway, next verse. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. We're way beyond that, sorry. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He's basically saying, if I come into a meeting and I'm speaking in tongues, y'all are going to be looking at me like, no comprende. And I'm going to be looking at you saying, no comprende. That's why when you come in, Brother Thompson, I say, praise the Lord, Brother Thompson, good to see you tonight. Because we understand, we speak English. Do you realize what kind of kooks we'd be? If we all tried to speak to each other in tongues and then hope someone could figure it out. You know what I'm saying, brother. Just let the Spirit lead you. I don't know what's better, that or snake handlers. Where are we at? Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is the critical piece, because up to this point, Paul has used the word speak exclusively, right? We read it together. He's used the word speak. Now, when I go look up this word speak comes from the Greek word laleo. It literally means to utter a voice or emit a sound, to speak, to use the tongue or the faculty of speech, to utter articulate sounds, to talk, to utter, tell, to use words in order to declare one's mind and disclose one's thoughts, to speak. Pretty clear, right? Did you hear the word prayer anywhere in that? No. He's talking about speaking, right? We're on the same page here. Just to further solidify that, that word, laleo, is translated 296 times in the King James Version. 296 times. It's translated as the English word speak 244 times. It's translated as the English word say 15 times. It's translated the English word tell 12 times, talk 11 times, preach 6 times. I think that's very interesting. We'll get to that in a minute. Utter 4 times, and another miscellaneous 3 times. Did I miss something, or did you hear, did they translate the word laleo as prayer at any point in that? In the 296 times in the key, did anybody hear prayer in there? Okay, just make, we're teaching, I remember we're learning together. It's Bible studies, education. So, jump to verse 14. He's been saying, speak up to this point, and now he says, for if I pray, everybody say pray, in an unknown tongue my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Now, this word pray, The English word pray is translated from the Greek word, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, procuro something. What's that? There we go. Greek scholar over here. That literally means it's the definition of that is, this is deep. Get your pen and paper out. To offer prayers, to pray. Need me to say that again so you can write, we're all note takers, need an extra. That word, as Brother Chamberlain pronounced it, is translated 87 times in the King James Version. 87 times that word is translated prayer in the KJV. 83 of those times it's translated as the English word pray. 3 times it's translated as the 2 words make prayer, and 1 time it's translated as pray for. Did you get speak anywhere in that? So here's my proposition to you tonight. Was Paul out of his mind? Was Paul a lunatic? Was he crazy? Did he not know how to write? No. What did he say? I mean, he was probably one of the more educated men in the New Testament. In fact, he said, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech, implying that if I wanted to, I could have blown you away with my oratory skills and my grammar skills. He was well educated. So you're going to tell me that well-educated Brother Paul was so ignorant in his writing and grammar abilities that he wasn't sure what word to use when writing 1 Corinthians 14 to the church at Corinth, and so he just used them interchangeably. Can I tell you another story about my dad? My dad makes up his own words. They're blackberry bliers. Not briars, bliers. My dad doesn't get frustrated or flustered. He gets frustrated. If my dad wrote 1 Corinthians 14, I could see maybe some words getting transposed and him thinking he was using one thing but using something else. But I don't believe that's what Paul was implying here. And so when you think about these scriptures, when Paul's talking about, let's go back to the beginning here. When you think about what Paul's talking about here in the first part of the chapter, when he's talking about speaking in an unknown tongue, speaking not unto men but unto God, when he talks about prophesying, speaking unto men to edification, exhortation, comfort, speaking in an unknown tongue, edifying himself, prophesying, edifying the church, and then you go look at these verses, these specific verses, and see that these are some of the verses that they translated that word laleo to the English word preach. So you technically could replace that word, not change the meaning, but replace the word with the word preach. He that preacheth in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But if he prophesies or speaks in his native tongue to a congregation, he edifies the congregation. Can I example this to you tonight? We come in here on Wednesday nights, and it's prayer and Bible study night. So we spend a lot of time in here. Well, a lot of time. We spend 15, 20, 30 minutes on Wednesday nights praying. And folks come in, and, you know, we get settled in, and we find a seat, and we just pray. We just spend time praying. Most of us are praying in the Holy Ghost. A lot of times I'm walking around here up and down the aisle, sitting on the altar, talking to my kids, praying in the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you'll even see me looking around, praying in the Holy Ghost. Talking to the Lord, just letting the Lord talk to me. But if I turned my mic on, and without any other direction, I just stayed up here and prayed in the Holy Ghost the entire time, all of you sat there and looked at me just like you're looking at me right now, and I just spent the rest of the time. Now, I could do that all night while you guys stood. It's not uncomfortable to me. However, I'd be interested to put a clock on the wall and see how long y'all hung out. Some of you might last until I'm done. Some of you might just, so, whatever he ate for lunch today, doesn't he need that anymore? We're going home. I'm picking up that some of that must have been happening in the church. Now, before you think I'm crazy, there was a situation many years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, where someone said to me about somebody that I knew, did you hear they got invited to preach somewhere? I said, no. Let me know how it goes. They'd been invited to preach at an apostolic church, and they were apostolic. They were part of this congregation at one point. So a couple weeks went by, and I followed up, and I said, hey, did you go? Yeah, I went. How did it go? Well, it was different. I said, what do you mean it was different? Well, you know, it was good, but it was different. I said, you got to explain yourself. They said, well, that person pretty much got up and just prayed in the Holy Ghost the entire time. Okay. Did they have anything to say? No, they just pretty much prayed in the Holy Ghost. Were other people praying with them? Nope, they were by themselves. That could be awkward. I tell you that to tell you that Paul may not have been that far off his rocker on this. If there were people coming into a congregation like tonight or on a Sunday and just speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, declaring in the Holy Ghost, while everybody sat around and said, well, Brother Paul got a good touch tonight, but nobody else knew what was going on. And you know what? I love those moments. I'm enjoying coming in here in the morning and finding a chair and sitting down and praying and hearing everybody praying around me, and everybody's getting their blessing, and it blesses me. It excites me. It makes me want to engage and go deeper. I enjoy that. That's what that session's for. It isn't morning prayer and Bible study. It's morning prayer. And sometimes individuals, I'll notice a few individuals around, they'll pick up their phone or their iPad and they'll start reading the Bible and they're going through their daily devotions, and somebody else over there, they're still praying, they're still engaged, they're still going at it. That's what that session's for. It's not about exhortation. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, Paul is very clear about that. He said, he goes on to say, and I think we're in, it's like 16, 17, 18, 19 in there. For some reason, when I copy and paste these scriptures, I lost the numbers, so I apologize. Paul said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than ye all. Same word, laleo. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. This is the same word, laleo. This is him speaking. This is him saying, listen, I can speak in tongues better than anybody can. I could get up at the front of the room and I could speak in tongues all night long. But he literally says, there's got to be some teaching going on. There's got to be some understanding imparted. And that happens when I'm prophesying or speaking in my native language. Let's jump down. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? This goes back to, again, everybody here in the room tonight, if we all came in and we didn't do anything else tonight but pray in the Holy Ghost the whole night, they went in this group, wouldn't anybody think anybody was crazy? That'd just be a good old-fashioned apostolic prayer meeting, right? But if on Sunday when we come in and you got a couple of guests and so-and-so brings grandma and so-and-so brings auntie and all these people come around, and instead of greeting people in English, we greet people with a holy utterance. What did I walk into? Are you following here where the scriptures are taking this? I don't think we're going to read any more of these tonight. I want us to be able to give a report of what we believe. This is something that has become semi-controversial in our world today. Forget receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost evidenced by speaking in other tongues. That's controversial, it is. But then the idea of praying in the Holy Ghost. And don't get me wrong, you gotta use discretion. I'm learning as I get older to use discretion. You know, Unless the Lord gives me utterance. Now, there, I'm probably not going to pray in the Spirit for my food at, you know, McDonald's. Like I would pray for a sick person at the front of the church on Sunday. Right? In the name of Jesus. I'm going to use discretion. When I fly on airplanes, sometimes there's nothing else to do but pray. I don't go into a Life Church 6 a.m. prayer meeting on an airplane. I could. I'd probably get thrown off by TSA. I use discretion. You got to know where you're at. You got to know what audience. But if the Holy Ghost leads you to enter into intercession, by all means, you better enter into intercession in that moment. I have been praying with people before who necessarily weren't believers in apostolic ministry and intercession and was just trying to pray a good prayer, and it just came out. And the Lord began to move through it. That's not every time. Bishop talked to me a couple months ago and mentioned that we needed to be more aware when visitors come in and we open service. I think it's good to use discretion about things. But the scripture's clear that praying in the Spirit is a part. Paul said, listen, I want you to pray in the Spirit. Paul said, what are we going to do? He says, I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. I'm going to sing with my... Paul was very clear about praying in the Spirit. He was also very clear about speaking in the Spirit. He didn't say you shouldn't. He didn't say no more speaking in the Spirit. He didn't say that. He just said, hey, listen, if you're going to speak in the Spirit, pray the Lord gives you the utterance. Pray he gives you the interpretation. And those of you who have been in services where there have been tongues and interpretation, you realize the witness of the Holy Ghost immediately when the word goes forth. He confirms his word. Let's stand together tonight. I'll stop short of saying that maybe the awkwardness that I feel at times is in different situations is coming from me. You know, is that embarrassment? Is the uncomfortableness from me, or is it from others? But I know I have an answer and I have an assurance in the Word of God and the scriptures that we read tonight. I know specifically what Paul was talking about. Now, I'm not going to go hit somebody over the head with this. But the next time somebody comes to me and says, you know, I liked your church, but I'm not really all about that praying in the Spirit out loud thing. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth that, oh, I'm glad you brought those scriptures. Can we sit down and talk about those? Can we talk about what those words mean? Can we go look at the, can we see what he was really talking about? I want to understand. I want to be able to give an answer. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence, for your power. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor tonight for your understanding and your revelation that's imparted in this room. Father, we pray your strength upon each individual here tonight. We pray your grace, Father, upon us. We pray that you would quicken this word to us, Father, in moments of question, even in our own minds. I pray in the name of Jesus that your Spirit would prevail. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. There is a session on our website right now. I know it's there because Brother Kendrick went and found it off an old hard drive and updated it to the new link. But there is a, if you go search by name on the church audio archive under Bishop Wright, there is a audio archive in there from June of 2009, I believe. Oh, he's going to pull it up for you. There you go, Praying for the Holy Ghost, 6-2-2008. Go listen to that. Brother Wright tells his testimony about praying in the Holy Ghost and things that he struggled with early on in his life as a young man, late teen years, early 20s. I asked Brother Kendrick for this because I went looking for this session the other day. I remembered things that were in there a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I thought it was on my computer. I couldn't find it in this archive, and I texted him, and he found it on an old hard drive. He uploaded it. I went and listened to it. I was blessed again. I've probably listened to this session in the past, well, since 2008, probably 20 times at least, and I've tried to let what he says in there filter and penetrate my spirit. He talks about praying in the Spirit, talks about praying people through the Holy Ghost. Those two things are like hand in hand. In fact, one of my favorite things to say to folks who are praying for the Holy Ghost in this room, because of your liberty, because of the liberty that you have to pray in the Holy Ghost, when I'm praying with somebody, I begin to talk to them, I say, you hear people praying in the Holy Ghost all around you, don't you? Yeah. That's not the case everywhere. Do you realize how hard it would be? How difficult it would be to pray through the Holy Ghost if you were in a place where you never heard anyone pray in the Spirit. And now you're trying, you need to pray in the Spirit. What's that? When you come into Life Church, you, by the time you get the altar call, you've been listening to people intercede and pray in the Holy Ghost for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And so when somebody comes up here and lays their hands on your head and said, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost today, you need to give way to the utterance of the Spirit. You heard people praying around you in the Holy Ghost. Even, you hear that person right now. Sister Chamberlain's right there. She's praying. Do you hear that? Yeah, yeah. She's giving way to the utterance of the Spirit just like you need to. That's how much easier that is. These two things are tied together. What we've talked about tonight of praying in the Spirit and praying people through the Holy Ghost, these two things are tied together. They go hand in hand. And so I'm going to ask you to go listen to this. Click on that link. Listen to it. There's powerful ministry that goes on for almost, what is that, a 30-minute? It's about a 30 or 40-minute, maybe 50-minute session. The first 30 minutes are him telling his personal testimony about prayer. It will impact you as much as the part about praying people through the Holy Ghost. Amen.